In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The fathers spend a great deal of time because of the heresies that were rife in the church in the early centuries about the Trinitarian theology. Who is God the Father? What are his limits? What is his definition? The same with the Son and the same with the Holy Spirit. So we come today, and I will try to teach you something that is fairly simple. Remember, the Father is unoriginate. He is in himself existence. He is pure existence. There was never a time when he did not exist. Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, was born of him, and the Holy Spirit, of the same essence of Jesus Christ and of God the Father Almighty, proceeds from him, right? And this procession is organic. It didn't happen in time. It was something that is, again, unoriginate, and it is something that is absolutely pure and undefiled. There's nothing that can be added to it, nothing that can be subtracted from it, and there is nothing on earth equal to it. We do not have something that we can point to and say, it's like this. There is nothing like that. Now, I'll tell you a small joke, especially for you women. You ever go into the closet and you start talking to yourself, what am I going to wear? Who are you talking to? Who are you talking to? Right? Guys do this too. I did this today. I said, shall I put on the gray shirt, the black shirt, or the dark green shirt underneath my priest's robe? Who was I talking to? We sometimes don't understand how God within himself is complete and perfect and does not need one other thing. It is because he loved us that he made us. We were pre-existent in his mind to be loved, and he made that part of us to be loved. And when we fell away from the gifts that he was trying to give us through our sins and our misplaced passions, he sent his Son. Now, when Jesus came and he gathered disciples to him, and I'm one of these, I so miss my friends. If I think about it deeply, I'll start to cry. I miss Abuna Luis de Rose. God, I miss him. I miss Abuna Daniel Farragut. I miss Abuna Antonius Hanan. I miss Abuna Bashoy Dimitri. These are people that, in a sense, were my fathers. Much more a father than my own biological father. Much more. Because they didn't have any reason to love me. The only reason that they loved me was because they saw that Jesus himself loved me. This is the pure love. When somebody loves you because there's something that they gain by being with you, that's transactional. You know, it's kind of like the girl who said to the guy, if you're rich, I'm single. Right? If you're rich, I'm single. I can have every relationship, you know, that will embellish me, but I can't call that relationship loving. I can't. So if I were one of the disciples at the time that Jesus Christ walked the earth, I would have just been heartbroken when he said he was going to go away. But he said it's expedient for him to go away, because if he does not go away, the Comforter will not come. Well, who's the Comforter? You see, we have two Paracletes. Jesus is the Paraclete of our reconciliation to God the Father Almighty. And the Holy Spirit is the sustainer of all of the truth of Jesus Christ, who he says in clear definition, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But he is what we say in Arabic, Mawazi. He is the comforter. The comforter means someone who is going to remind you of what? Of the truth that Jesus Christ spoke. What is the truth then? The present problems that you have in your life are transitory. They will come to an end. But the things that the Lord has promised will never, ever be lost, will never come to an end, will never be degraded. And the Holy Spirit reminds you of these things. We could not have, as humans, gone to heaven until the Lord had paid the very last penny for our salvation on the cross. He took upon himself all of our sins, all of our future sins, all sins, and he ascended into heaven in the flesh. There were about 500 people that saw Jesus Christ ascend. And when he says he convicts the world of righteousness, what does he mean? Think about what the Jews said about Jesus Christ or others, the pagans, right? He's a devil. The devil doesn't ascend to heaven. But 500 witnesses saw him rise slowly, not like a rocket ship, slowly ascend up into heaven to sit at the right hand of his Father. And when the Paraclete came, the Holy Spirit, days afterwards, he rested upon the heads of those who were present in the upper room as cloven tongues of fire, or divided tongues of fire. This fire that burns in us, it's like Psalm number 147, which is the last psalm in the 12th hour of your Agabeah. And it describes the power of the Spirit and its manifestations. And when you read that psalm, you have this sense that there are many ways in which the Spirit will come. Through water, of course, through baptism, through my breath. Through my breath, the breath that I received from our patriarch, Popava Shenouda III, right? I received this. All priests, all bishops receive this. And from my mouth to the mouth of Leilani or to Ileana, or Damante, or Luke, or Nathan, it's a spirit that is so forceful and so powerful that it changes the way in which you relate. You see, as I would have been and the disciples were, they loved the flesh of Jesus Christ. Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't? Who was more beautiful than Jesus Christ? Who was more tender? Who was more loving? Who was more considerate? Who was more compassionate? Who was more understanding? Who could answer every single question that was given so that it stopped the questioning inside the human heart? Jesus. Who wouldn't love him? But they didn't love him as God, the Spirit. You see, the Spirit. They loved him in the flesh. So he had to rise. He had to leave the earth. It must have been in this way and this way alone. And then we can start to be spiritual people. We can start to see things that other people who are not spiritual will always miss. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and blessed are your ears, for they hear. How many times did you read in the Bible, "He who hath ears to hear, let him hear"? Or to see. You know, people who have godly eyes, they see God everywhere. There's a story that I've told you before. I'll repeat it because it's appropriate. There was a young man and he was fishing with his grandfather in a boat. And the day had grown long, and they hadn't caught any fish, and the sun was beating down on them. And the young boy, he questioned his grandfather about some deep things. And then the young boy's mind turned towards the divine, and he was asking him about creation, and he was asking him about what they were doing, and about the disciples who fished and were not productive until the Lord came, and things of this nature that he had heard in Sunday school in his own Bible reading. And he asked his grandfather about his faith. And he said, well, when I was young, I looked for God. I searched for God. But he said, now that I'm old, God is all that I ever see. I see God in creation. I see God in human beings. I see God in all of the fine things that people are wont to do. And it's a great relief to me that though my eyes do not see that well materially, his grandfather, like me, I wear glasses because I have a distorted lens. But this man saw the way we were supposed to see, the way you are supposed to see, the way that you are supposed to be healed by what you see. So that when things turn and they're difficult, you do not become depressed. You know, everyone goes through different types of pain. I remember when my son was young and I was criticizing him because he was spending too much time on the basketball court, jumping up and down on concrete, and his shins were hurting him. It was one particular summer. And then when I thought about it, that particular summer, my son grew 3 inches. His legs were hurting not because he was jumping up and down on a basketball court, because at the ends of the bone where growth takes place and the epiphyses, he was lengthening. And you know, I'm 5'7", my son is 6'2". So he towers over me. But I didn't see it. I saw activity, I saw pain, I saw this is a one-to-one relationship. No, it was growth. Sometimes the pain that we have in our life is meant for us so that our spirit will grow. Because how can you long for God if you have everything? Have you ever heard of the Kardashians? Of course you all have. Everyone's heard of the Kardashians. Do you ever hear them speaking spiritually? Why would they? It would be the farthest thing from them. The farthest thing. You know, sometimes girls don't feel good about themselves, and so they embellish themselves one way or another. I've known girls that have done all kinds of strange things to themselves. One girl cut off half of the hair behind her head, let it grow along in front, and then combed it backwards so her parents wouldn't know, but the whole back of her head was bald. I don't know why she did that. And by the way, she had a GPA of like 4.5, you know, on a 5-point scale. I mean, she was not she wasn't a girl without substance. But why do girls do that? Why do girls think that what the world tells them, and what the world tells them, is the most important thing that they need to be told? Why isn't it that they don't listen to, well, what it says in Proverbs about a woman whose weight is worth more than rubies? Who is that woman? Read it in the book of Proverbs. See what kind of person that is, and then know that God loves that person, distinguishes that person, has a place in his own heart for that person that is special. You don't need to do anything to yourself. Guys do this too, but guys, it's mostly with tattoos. Some guys go into piercings, but mostly tattoos. But it's the same thing. I've joined a club. I see this tattoo, I'm part of the tattoo club. Well, couldn't you just think that about yourself? Why was it necessary for you to embellish yourself so that people would know you belonged to that club? Why did you want them to know that you belonged to that club? Why was it necessary for you to give an outward sign of some inward condition? You know, it's like if I went to a tattoo artist and I had my IQ printed on my forehead so that everybody could see how smart I am. What would that really tell you? It would tell you that I really am more concerned about what you think than what God himself thinks. And the Holy Spirit is meant to comfort you with the words and saying, whatever it is that you're going through, if you're despised, if you are for no fault of your own, if you're marginalized, that I myself, I God, I love you, and that you are going to be with me, and that I've made a place for you, and that you do not have to do anything to compromise yourself for this world. You know, the bishop that I was listening to on the radio coming here to church today, the Roman Catholic bishop, he was talking about Mother Teresa of Calcutta and talking about the type of life that she led. Nobody could look at her and think at all that she was beautiful. If you looked with carnal vision, her clothes were the poorest clothes. She was given a building in which she could perform her services, Sisters of Charity. The building had been carpeted. She threw the carpet out the windows. They slept on the bare concrete. Who would have looked at that and thought, that's beautiful? Oh, that's what I want to emulate. I'll tell you who would. The people that have circumcised eyes. The ones that can see beauty. The ones that can see truth. The ones that can see past all of the florid and many faceted images of what this society considers to be success. This is not success. It doesn't last. It's ephemeral. I'm always reminded about the guy that had the money belt that was on the Titanic. He didn't have money in his belt. He had gold. And he jumped into the water, and the gold was so heavy it took him right straight to the bottom of the ocean. There are lots of jokes about gold. But if we will attach ourselves to the gifts that the Spirit is willing to give, who wants to give, who wants to see us use effectively in our lives, for ourselves and for our families and for our friends and for the world generally. Well, come and pray with us. The prayers will begin after the break from the Eucharistic liturgy. Glory be to God forever. Amen.